friends. Welcome to a new year, 2015. Hey, there's a few people we want to welcome specifically this morning. We've got some mid-semester transfer students that have joined the Hope family. We want to welcome you here. That's right. All right, little brother. We also have students that were away, abroad, from faraway seas that have come back home. We want to love you. Thank you very much. We've also got some new faculty and staff that have joined our ranks, and we also want to welcome you here. Jeff Puckett, if you're here, welcome. I had a great break. I don't know how your break was. It was fantastic. I had like one of the best breaks of my life. I got to hang out with my kids. I went paleo, my new diet. I'm owning the crock pot. It's fantastic. One of the things that I did over break, though, is I went to go see my friend Karis at Despondent University. For those of you who are freshmen or transfers or new, you don't know, but one of my soul friends is his friend Karis. We were friends at St. Andrews University, and she's now the dean of the chapel at Despondent University in upstate Washington in Wantmore County. And over the break, I went and visited her at Despondent University. In fact, I got a couple selfies that I'll show you. This is me at the famous, the iconic, the Salty Cashew Shop. Next. This is me at the Broken Record Shop. This is me at the old Oslo Distillery, an iconic place. And this is me out in front of Revelation Memorial Chapel. And then this is me at the famous Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, life's hard, have a cup of coffee. Well, as some of you know, I occasionally get a letter from my friend Karis, and sometimes it's appropriate, her themes kind of hit home to me. So with your permission, I'd like to read this year's letter as we kick off the new year, if that's okay. Dated January 5th, which was Monday. Dear Trigvi, it was wonderful to see you and your family over the break. It was great to show you around campus. Your son Trigvi is getting so tall and boyish. And that Ella, well, you can tell she's going to run something someday. It's good to see old friends, and I hope you enjoy the sweatshirt that I got you for Christmas. I am. I'm writing from my study at Revelation Memorial Chapel, wearing my new Dale of Norway sweater that I got for Christmas and listening to Take Me to Church by a band called Hoosier. I don't know if I say that right. I like the soulful edge of the song. It sounds like a prayer, even if the lead singer doesn't know who he's praying to. At least he wants to go to church. It's a quiet morning, and I'm sipping an extra hot macchiato from Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, life's hard, have a cup of coffee. As I look outside, the snow has begun to fall across campus. The landscape is a serene calm. The snow is falling fast and quiet. It's the kind of snow I love, light and fluffy, like cotton candy you get at the fair. Across the quad in Viking Square, I can see students throwing snowballs at albino squirrels. We have a folk legend on campus that if you hit an albino squirrel with a snowball, you will be guaranteed to marry the next person you kiss. I see a lot of anxious seniors throwing snowballs right now. I love to see students back from Christmas break. Students give our campus its soul. But during second semester, it's difficult to recognize them. Their identities are protected from the elements under inflatable parkas, wool hats pulled over ears and down to the brim of their eyes, scarves wrapped around exposed faces. They look like colorful, puffy ninjas. From the window, I see them walking to the first day of classes, closely waddling, single file in their Uggs, down narrow, plowed sidewalks like penguins marching together. It reminds me, winter is why I think northern small towns have a greater sense of community. It's hard to be an individual in winter. Winter is when you have to pull together and huddle up for warmth. We know that we need each other to survive. Which reminds me, I need to say thank you and bring some hot chocolate to the grounds crew who got up at 5 a.m. this morning to plow the sidewalks for us. Since we saw each other in December, history has said goodbye to 2014 and welcomed the year 2015. I don't know about you, but I have always felt that New Year's should begin in September when the beginning of school starts. Let Labor Day be New Year's Eve. I've never emotionally connected to celebrating a new year in January. Instead, I like to think of the Christmas break as halftime, and January is the beginning of the second half of the game. Halftime is when you get to make adjustments, tweak the strategy, and renew focus. Halftime is when you huddle together and remind yourself to get back to the basics, to champion the fundamentals. It's by mastering the fundamentals that allow you to play with a kind of effortless grace and freedom. And this is true in sport, I think, as it is in life. So as we begin the second half at Despondent U, I've been thinking about fundamentals, how I want to play the game of Jesus this next semester. What are these fundamentals? It is Jesus' call that is as simple as it is complex. Jesus says that the fundamental to a life of true meaning and freedom is to love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This fundamental is golden. That's how I want to play the second half, not only of this semester, but of my life. I want to love God. I want this love to electrify my entire body. I want this love to be the guide to my desire. I want this love to inspire my imagination, the kind of love that springs out of a deep trust and personal knowledge. I want to play life holding nothing back from God. I want to run that narrow trail. I want to be intoxicated by the glory of God's overwhelming beauty. I want to worship with a freedom that may embarrass my kids. I want to laugh at the days to come with the ease of your Ella. I want to throw snowballs in the fields of the Lord. I want to fall in love with God and this world God so loves as if for the first time. And how do I do this? I think it has something to do with loving my neighbor. I want to love others by knowing who they are, not who I think they are. There are no ordinary people, only extraordinary creatures of God's grace. I want to love my neighbor by experiencing what Jesus means when he says to bless and not curse, to turn the cheek, to walk a second mile, to hold things loosely and give away all your extras. What I love about a college campus is that there are so many neighbors. Neighbors from all over, from big cities and small towns, neighbors from down the street and across faraway seas, neighbors that are charismatic and neighbors that are shy, neighbors who are independents and neighbors who are Greeks, neighbors who are geeky and some who are sporty, neighbors who are brown and neighbors who are black, neighbors who are gay and neighbors who are straight, neighbors who love Jesus and those who don't know Jesus at all. I want to love all these neighbors because each is fearfully and wonderfully made by the God who loves them. This year, I want to know as many neighbors as possible. The love for God and my neighbor. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Then why do I find this love one of the hardest fundamentals to master? If I'm honest, what keeps me from this love too often is my own fear. Fear of getting hurt. I don't want to get hurt again. I want to protect my heart from those who might wound it. And so I embrace self-protection. I keep a distance. I don't want to be rejected, so I keep myself to myself. I keep love stored away as if it was a scarce commodity, rather than to see love for what it is, the abundance of oxygen that keeps our faith alive. What overcomes this fear? I think it has something to do with forgiveness. We heal the wounds of the heart with washing daily in the oil of forgiveness. That is the fundamental of love. So let this year be a year where the fundamentals of Jesus allows us to live with a fresh new freedom, the freedom to see the divine working itself out in every ordinary neighbors of our life. I guess what I'm saying is that in this second half, I want to experience what it means to be more deeply human. I think the human act of loving God and loving my neighbor is the fundamental secret to a meaningful life. And I think it is the fundamental secret to a campus culture that seeks to be whole and healthy and vibrant. Which is why my prayer for the second half of the year is this: God, teach us. Teach us all to love you with all of our heart and strength and soul and mind, to really love, to really love that unprotected way so that we can freely love our neighbor. For the only way to take care of our campus is to take care of each other. And the best way to take care of each other is to allow our love to be shaped by God's word, who is Jesus himself. As we start the second half, I'm energized. I'm excited to step back into the game and to love God, to love my people, to love my place, and to love the word. I pray that you will find such freedom to love this semester at Hope. May you find yourself breathing the clean oxygen of God's eternal love for you. Well, my friend, that's all the news from Despondent U, where the trees are tall, the snow is deep, and the love is thick. Grace and peace, Karis. Friends, as we step into the second half of the semester, as you go to and from class, as you get back into the normal rhythms of your life, I want to encourage you to embrace the fundamental of Jesus. Love God with all that you have. Love your neighbor. Hold nothing back this semester. Amen? Go in peace, and you are loved.